that just stuck with me. It was mentioned on the radio, I guess it was, and the radio announcer asked the question, what if tomorrow we only had the things that we thank God for today for? What if we woke up tomorrow with only the things that you thank Jesus for today? I thought, wow, some days I might not wake up with a whole lot because I did not thank Jesus very much the day before. Just think of all the things that God gives us on a daily basis. The fresh air, the ability to move and walk, my family, my house, my job, my finances, my car, just the presence of God. They're almost innumerable. But what if I did not wake up tomorrow with those things because I did not thank God for them today? And I think that's why Jesus, 2,000 years ago, gave us a prayer to pray that reminds us to pray daily. If you've been in here the last couple weeks, we've been in this series that I've entitled The Mystery of Unanswered Prayer. And how sometimes our prayers seem to go unanswered. And why was the reason? And we've looked at the Lord's Prayer. And so far we've seen that sometimes our prayers are too small. That we pray either to a God who's too small, not a loving Heavenly Father, but to a great God, or they're not asked at all. Last week we saw that maybe our prayers are too self-centered. They're focused on ourselves and not on God's kingdom, not on God's will to be done. And so we've been looking at this series on unanswered prayers, and we come to the next phrase in the Lord's Prayer that we're going to look at this morning. We've either prayed for the wrong things or the wrong reasons, but this week we're going to pray for something else. So let's look at the Lord's Prayer again this morning and see what it has to teach us this morning. Let's say this together. Again, it's a great prayer to say together, as it says on the screen there. It says, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The next phrase we're going to look at from the Lord's Prayer closer this morning is, give us this day our daily bread. And as I looked at that, I thought, well, sometimes I think our prayers are unanswered because your prayer is too short. Your prayers are too short. Now, when I say short, I'm not talking about the length of time it takes us to pray. Because I've known people who can pray and pray and pray for hours on end and really never say anything. They kind of babble on. And I also know people that can say very short prayers and yet it makes a big impact. Short prayers are even common in the Bible. I remember Nehemiah. Nehemiah is standing before the king, and the king asks him a question, and it says right there, I prayed a quick prayer. He didn't have time to go before God with a big lengthy prayer when the king asked him a question. How am I going to answer this, Lord? Or even Peter. Peter, he's out walking on the water, and he starts to sink. That was not the time to do the Hail Mary in full grace or the Lord's Prayer. Oh, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Wait, I'm dead. No, he's prayed, Lord, save me. That short prayer, and it was effective. So it's not necessarily the length of our prayers that I'm concerned about today that we're going to look at. So maybe it should be more accurately, our prayers are too short-lived. They're just too short-lived, maybe. But there are three areas that I've seen from this passage that our prayers are just too short. And we see this in the Bible many times. First of all, our prayers are too short because we don't pray enough times in our prayers. Not enough time or days in our prayers. Now again, I'm not talking about the length of the prayers. I'm talking about the amount of time we spend in prayer. Notice how Jesus words the section that we're focusing on today. He says, give us today our daily bread. Give us this day. He starts off by letting us know that prayer is a more than once in a while kind of prayer. He wanted his disciples to know, hey, I want you to pray daily, today, for your daily bread. Because Jesus knew the importance of daily communion and communication with God. He knew that we needed to remember, and remember often, that our life and the things of life come from Him. We need to depend on Him daily. One person wrote this as I was researching this last week. He said, we are not to pray for provisions for days and years to come because this fosters covetousness and tight-fistedness, in which prayer God will not hear. You see, if we pray for the things of tomorrow, today, we may be tempted to stockpile or hoard it and trust in the things that we already have than into our daily lives each day. We already have the things, so we don't need to trust God for the next day's supply, for the next day's bread. I think this is also why Jesus will say later on in this chapter, don't worry about the things of tomorrow. Because if you pray for things for tomorrow, then you're going to start worrying about it tomorrow. He'll bring concerns and worries to us that we don't need. And it shows us that we can trust God. Because if God can supply today's needs, then He can certainly supply tomorrow's needs as well. It'll be just the same. Again, I've been reading John MacArthur's book, Alone with God, and he puts it this way. To accept God's provisions for the present day without concern for our needs or wealth for tomorrow is a testimony of our contentedness in his goodness and faithfulness. You see, it's very important that we trust God today and have the peace about the tomorrows. That peace in our lives about tomorrow in our lives today. I was also reminded of the song, I think it's an old country hymn from Merle Haggard. One day at a time, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Deep theological person that Haggard was. But he got it from this prayer, I believe. Teach us this day our daily bread. Because it teaches us to rely upon God. And it also teaches us to wait upon God as well. Sometimes our prayers are unanswered because God wants us to wait until tomorrow for our prayers to be answered. He doesn't want to give us the things we ask for Him today because He wants to answer it tomorrow or the next day. And He's teaching us dependence upon Him before He gives it to us. Several times in the Psalms it talks about waiting on the Lord. Psalm 24:17, Psalm 31:24, Psalm 37:34, Psalm 41. And in Psalm 130 it says this, I will wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchman waits for the morning. You know? We wait in anticipation for what the Lord's going to give to us. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about another song that I sang as a little child. I will wait, wait, wait on the Lord and learn my lessons well. In His timing, He will tell us what to do, where to go, what to say. See, that's the importance of giving us this day our daily bread. When we pray for our daily bread for this day and do not receive it, it teaches us the patience, the endurance, and the perseverance it takes for us in our daily lives. So I think it's important that we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Is that what you're praying for daily? Are you spending enough time in your prayers, enough days? Every day we should be on our knees, either literally or physically, or figuratively, I should say, praying for our needs to God. Are you spending enough time in prayer? Or do you only come to God when you need it or need Him? You see, praying daily will keep you trusting in Him, will keep you depending upon God, and it will take away the worry about the things tomorrow. So let's not cheat God by giving Him not enough time in prayer. But there's a second area that we sometimes fall short on in our prayers, is not enough hours in our prayers. You see, sometimes we pray every day, but we don't pray enough during that day. We're told in scriptures that we are to pray throughout the day. Pray continually. I have little scripture cards that are on my desk that I kind of go through every day or every week or so. And it just so happened that I picked up the one from Psalm 119 this week. And it says, "Direct my footsteps according to your word." My footsteps. How many footsteps does it take to walk in a daily life? Every footstep should be a prayer. And again, not just literal footsteps, but throughout our day, we should be in an attitude of prayer. This is something we need to pray often. Now, I have a long quote. I didn't want to put it up on the screen because it would take several slides, but I will post it on the website and you can look it up and look up the verses to it later on. But it's again from the book Alone with God, and I like what he had to say about praying to God on an hourly basis here. He says, "At a pastor's conference I attended some years ago, one man preached on a subject of morning prayer. In his support, he read various passages showing people praying in the morning." And it sounds like praying exclusively in the morning. It sounds like what the guy was trying to go through. "As he did that, though, I looked up all the scriptures that show people praying at other times, like praying three times a day in Daniel 6:10, in the evening, 1 Kings 18:36, before meals, Matthew 14:19, after meals, Deuteronomy 8:10, at the ninth hour or at 3 p.m., Acts 3:1, at bedtime, Psalms 4:4, at midnight, Acts 16:25, day and night, Luke 2:37 and Luke 18:7, often, as it says in Luke 5:33, when you're young, Jeremiah 3:4, when you're old, Daniel 9:2 through 19, when you're in trouble, 2 Kings 19:3 and 4, every day in Psalms 90 or 86:3, and always, Luke 18:1. Now let me read that just without the scripture references. So we are to pray three times a day, in the evening, before meals, after meals, at the ninth hour, at bedtime, at midnight, day and night, often, when we're young, when we're old, every day, when we're in trouble, and always. That covers a whole lot of bases, doesn't it? Scripture tells us all throughout there how often we are to pray. And it's great to have a specific time, whether it be in the morning or in the evening, to have a specific time set aside for prayer. But Scripture teaches us, as we've just seen, that we are to have an attitude of prayer throughout the day. He goes on to say, "Prayer is fitting at any time, in any posture, in any place, under any circumstances, in any attire." We can even be in our PJs and pray to God. "It is to be a total way of life, an open and continual communication with God. After having embraced all the infinite resources that are ours in Christ, don't ever think that you are no longer dependent on God moment to moment." I like that. Again, it took a long time to read it, but that idea that we can pray to God whenever, wherever we're at. It's kind of like writing a story. In school, we would write stories, and the teacher would say, "You need to have the five W's and the one H. The who, what, when, where, why, and how." Well, when you apply it to prayer, we can pray whoever we are with, whatever time of day, whenever we need, wherever we're at, whyever the situation, and however you do it. That is what God wants us to from us. He wants to spend hours in prayer throughout our day. Now, that doesn't mean we walk around and close our eyes. No, that's not what the Bible teaches either. Ephesians 6:18 puts it this way. Oh. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Wherever we're at, in all kinds of situations, with all kinds of requests, just lay them before God. It can be quick little sentences here and there, quick little thoughts. Thank you, God, for that wonderful flower I just saw. Thank you, God, for giving me good traffic to go to work. Thank you, God, for what you've given to me this morning. Thank you, God, for the blessings that you've blessed me with. And again, like I mentioned last week, prayer and time reading in the Bible should be treated as a way of relationships with God. You see, when I was dating my wife, I would want to spend all kinds of time with her, just like we want to should spend time with the Lord. And when we're away from my wife, I would think about her often. You know, it just went through my mind. That's how prayer should be. That kind of a relationship. God doesn't want to force us into dating Him. He wants us to just love Him. People think sometimes prayer or devotion times or reading the Bible should be something we need to stick to. And I thought that for the longest time in my life, that God wanted me to pray every day and God wanted me to read the Scriptures every day. God wanted me to have my devotion times. And if I didn't, I failed Him. That's, I found out was wrong. That's what I thought for many years. Because I thought it was a chore. I thought it was something that needed to be done. But no, God comes and says, come to me. Love me, and I'll show my love to you. Let's have a relationship where it's not, I'm asking you to do these things to force you to do something that you might not want to do, but that you can know me better. Have that relationship, that interaction with God. And I think that's also why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. I should also note at this point that receiving our daily bread from God is not just receiving the things for our bodies. There's a couple commentaries that I read this last week that says, yes, after we focus on God in the first couple of verses of the passage, being your kingdom come, your will be done, now we focus on our needs, our physical needs. And I said, well, no, not really, because as I mentioned in children's church this morning, we receive our daily bread, our things that we need to supply our bodies, our physical needs, but Jesus also calls himself the bread of life. Jesus, after he fed the 5,000 people, came back to them, and they started talking about how God gave manna from heaven. And God and Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it was not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, it is my Father who gives the true bread from heaven, talking about himself. He says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then Jesus declared outright, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. You see, not only do we need physical things to supply our needs for our daily life, we need Jesus for our daily life. Our prayer should be, Lord, fill my needs from you as well. Not just physically, but spiritually as well. Give us the bread from heaven. So what is your daily prayer like? Are you spending enough hours in prayer? Do you have that attitude of prayer throughout the day? You see, no matter where you are, or what you're doing, or who you're with, or how you're feeling, keep that spirit of prayer and thankfulness in your heart. So not only is our prayers too short because we don't have enough days or time in our prayers, or not enough hours in prayers, but third area of prayer that we are too short in is that we're not enough energy in our prayers. Now, what do I mean by that? You see, there are several passages in the Bible that talk about how we are to be persistent in our prayers. How we do prayer for things multiple times every day throughout the day, but have they enough gumption or enough energy in those prayers? You see, after he prays the Lord's Prayer in Luke's Gospel, Luke goes on to say, he says to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine is on a journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed with me. I can't give up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened." You see, there are different things we can learn from this passage. First of all, Jesus talks about the man's boldness. And this word is kind of unique. It's only used here in the Lord's Prayer. So it's kind of difficult to define exactly. But it has the idea that this man was doing something kind of outside the cultural norms. Something almost rude. Not the initial asking, but it appears that he continually asked until the guy actually got up out of bed. The first question is fine, but apparently he did not take no for an answer, so he continually bugged the guy. He continually pestered him until he got up and gave him the bread. And I find this kind of puzzling that Jesus would use this as an example for prayer. It's kind of puzzling because the context of this verse is very clear. God's talking about prayer and how you should pray to God. Yet Jesus appears to be saying, well, if God tells you no the first time, keep bugging him, keep pestering him, keep coming to him about it until he says yes. And I thought, is that how God wants us, or Jesus wants us to come to God in prayer? Does Jesus want us to bug and pester God again and again? I looked it up in the Thoris this last week. And do we want to annoy God, vex him, needle him, ruffle him, disturb him, aggravate him, try his patience, keep going and going until he gives in? Because I've always thought, those are negative things. I thought, oh, those are bad things that we shouldn't do, especially in prayer. And yet, that seems to be what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus seems to treat these kind of actions as fine when we are praying to God. Because Jesus will again go on to say, so I say to you, ask. And it's very unique, again, in the Greek, that there are actually two words that are added together to put emphasis on this. He says, I myself say this to you. I just agree with just with what this man just did, what I told you this man did. It could be translated, so I indeed myself also say this, or I as well, or I likewise, or in like manner, I say to you, just like this man did with this boldness. And so that's why I use the word energy in my outline. Because we're supposed to use the energy that God gives us to ask, even to the point of being rude to God, to trying his patience. You see, because God will see how important it is for us when we continually bug him about it, and he will answer. If you think that's a little strong, look later on in Luke. Luke 18 talks about the persistent widow. you remember the parable of the persistent widow? It says, yes, this widow went to this judge to demand justice. And the judge was an unrighteous judge and would not give her justice. But the widow persisted, it says. Continued on until justice was given to her. And it says, in that same way, come to Jesus. Or come to God that way. You know, Jesus told the parable to show them how they should pray and not to give up, it says there. And again, in this passage of Scripture, it says, so I say this as well. I agree with this guy and say to you, when you ask, ask God. Because these next few words, ask, seek, and knock, are all imperatives, commands. They're commanded to ask God. And not only they're commands, but they're also continuous. These carry on with the idea of continuing on with the persistence of this neighbor. And so you could probably translate this passage better in this way. In the same way as this neighbor, I say to you, keep on continuously asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on continuously seeking, and you will find. Keep on continually knocking, and the door will be open to you. He says, for anyone or everyone who keeps on continually asking receives, he who keeps on continuously seeking finds, and to him who keeps on continually knocking, the door will be opened. And I know sometimes in our prayers, it's kind of easy sometimes to give up. We say, I've prayed about this over and over again, and God just hasn't answered it. And God's telling us in this passage of Scripture, with our daily bread, that we need to keep going at it. We need to keep bugging Him. Keep persistence. Keep pestering Him to answer our prayers. But God knows our desires. He hears us. And He wants to give us something if we don't give up. Galatians 6:9 says, do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap the harvest if we do not give up. You know, sometimes we just give up in our prayers. We don't spend enough energy to keep our prayers going. Become discouraged. God doesn't want to become discouraged in our prayers. God wants us to have His abundance, as we talked about in week one. He wants to have His will be done, as we talked about in week two. But He also wants us to learn patience and dependence upon Him. And as we look at these three things on how our prayers are too short, we need to offer to God our prayers on a daily basis. That we need to pray throughout that day and with enough energy to get through. And God is, we don't need to pray like Elijah in the Old Testament, where he's praying to gods that don't hear, like the prophets of Baal. He mocked them and said, hey, maybe your God's not hearing. God hears you. He doesn't want you to ask and ask again because He might forget the first time or put off or didn't hear the first time. No. He wants us because He wants us to have that relationship with Him in prayer. He wants us to have that time of dependence throughout the day, that we might develop perseverance and endurance. It's kind of also kind of unique. I was doing my devotions this morning and came across a passage. I don't know why this hasn't been in my notes before today, because it's very clearly talking about our daily bread. But I read this morning in Proverbs 30 how it says, two things I asked of you, O Lord. First of all, he says, do not refuse me before I die. He says, first of all, keep falsehoods and lies far from me. But second of all, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I might become too poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. You know, giving us this daily bread. Not too much, not too little, but just enough. And as we ask for our daily provisions, bread for our bodies, food for our table, let us again not forget that bread of life that came down from heaven. Because we're going to celebrate that this morning in communion. You see, Jesus came down to give His body for us. To give His blood that He shed on the cross. And so this morning we're going to take communion. Communion at Groveland Missionary Church is open to all believers. You don't have to be a member here, but we invite all of you to take part. Will the elders come forward to help? Matthew 7.